We've remembered the lives of two women who played a big role in our love of space and space exploration. In the world of film fiction, Carrie Fisher, of course, who played the iconic Princess Leia in Star Wars. And in real life, Vera Rubin, pioneer astronomer and physicist who confirmed the existence of dark matter. And of course, they both passed away this year, but there were also plenty of events to celebrate this year when it comes to space. And here to help us look back on the year in space news is David Newman, Deputy Administrator of NASA. Deputy Administrator, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be with you, Magna. Hello.
Well, hello. It's been a big year for space and space exploration. What's your number one highlight for the year?
Well, I have about three dozen, so I can only have time to tell you about a few. But, you know, we got to Jupiter again in orbit with our Juno mission, the goddess of Jupiter, to take the most precise data we've ever taken. And we're still there, you know, for 20 months in orbit. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's a rendezvous 5 years in the making, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, all of our missions, a lot of times it takes us, you know, an entire decade to get there. This one's 5 years. Remember when we got to Pluto before? That was just a 9-year journey.
Just a 9-year journey.
So, and people work on it for, like, you know, 30 years of their career. So that's the thing. It's not for the faint of heart. You know, a lot of our major, you know, science missions, it's just the dedication, the passion. So they're all kind of highlights.
So what is it that the Juno mission hopes to discover or uncover about Jupiter?
So we've had previous missions to Jupiter, but this one is in a really interesting polar orbit. The Jupiter environment is incredibly extreme. So it's about 20 million times more. The radiation environment is about 20 million times stronger than what we experience. And so we're really trying to understand the Jupiter and in Jupiter orbit, the environment. Really, all of our exploring goes back to those enduring questions. Are there other habitable planets? Are we alone in the universe? And then what about past life,
right?
Especially in our solar system?
So about those other planets, we have to talk about the Kepler mission, right? I mean, it seems like there were a lot of discoveries there.
Oh, my goodness. We have over 3,000 candidate exoplanets and a couple dozen that we say are in that habitable zone, the Goldilocks zone, I like to call it. Not too hot, not too cold, really the ideal, you know, Earth-like exoplanets, especially when it comes to the chemical compositions. When we look for life in the universe, we say follow the water, in terms of these planets might have, that would give us the first evidence or clues that there could be life there.
Yeah. Let's stay in this solar system for another moment, because the European Space Agency had an unmanned mission that arrived at Mars. I mean, your cousin's there at the ESA, so not a NASA mission. That's pretty exciting, too. We're continuing to develop our understanding of our nearest neighbor.
We sure are. And we were on board. We work with the Europeans and the Russians in that case. You know, they led the ExoMars, but really amazing. We, meaning the world, because we think exploration and specifically the journey to Mars that NASA's leading, we see this as global exploration. And did you know that we have 7 assets, let's call them? NASA has 2 rovers, and we have 3 orbiters around Mars today, orbiting Mars. MAVEN is maybe our most famous, and it's given us incredible scientific data. We now, the first papers are published on how Mars lost its atmosphere, leaving us today with 1% carbon dioxide atmosphere. And the Indian Space Agency, MOM, I love their acronym, that's the Mars Observer Mission. MOM is also in orbit, and as you just mentioned, then most recently, the ExoMars from ESA and Russia, their orbiter, is working. So we're on it. We are definitely studying Mars every single day.
So 7 assets, as you say, but no humans yet. I mean, how much closer are we to getting a manned mission on the way to Mars?
Well, it'll be a human mission. I'm thinking with probably a female commander. And we are closer today. Humanity is closer today than we've ever been in history. So that's, as you know me, I work on that 24/7.
Yeah.
So every day, every night, that's what I kind of live and breathe and think about is getting that horizon goal of our journey to Mars, getting humans to the red planet. We're still on track. It's affordable, sustainable to get there in the 2030s. So we have to keep making all the great progress that we're making.
Yeah. So when you say we're on track for a Mars mission in the 2030s, that would be a launch date in the 2030s?
Yes, a launch date, and it's round trip.
Mm-hmm. So teenagers listening to this right now, it could be you.
when it when is, we're, it absolutely is them. I call anyone in school today, they are the Mars generation. I literally call them the Mars generation. So boots on Mars, it's going to be a young person hopefully listening to this interview.
Absolutely. So you mentioned where human beings are in space right now. And so we have to mention Commander Scott Kelly's 520 days in space. The man who had the best Instagram and Twitter feed, by the way, with all those glorious pictures that he had every day. A true accomplishment, but I understand that that's actually not the record for an American's time in space.
Yeah, can you believe it? So again, 2016, record after record. So when it comes to Scott's one-year mission, just couldn't have gone better. Did over 400, you know, science experiments, as you say, his Twitter feed and the social media. And guess what? Jeff Williams just broke Scott's record, being the American spending the most days in space. Now, not consecutive. Scott's close to 1 year mission was the longest mission at once. But see, Jeff Williams, he just finished his third increment up on International Space Station. And move over Scott and Jeff, because guess what? Peggy Whitson's up there, and she's going to break their records in 2017.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. You know, at this point in time, some of our listeners are listening with justifiably, scrutinizing ears and critical ears, and they're probably thinking, you know what, this has been a little too rah-rah, because there have been some setbacks. For example, in 2016, NASA is doing a lot of partnerships with private companies in order to get a lot of these missions off the ground. There's been a couple explosions with SpaceX rockets, for example, and an inability to fully prove that a reusable rocket is a reality. I mean, talk to me about those setbacks that you also saw in 2016.
Absolutely. First and foremost, spaceflight is hard. There are accidents. SpaceX had an accident this year, and the previous year there were a couple accidents. But you know what? That's what the government does. That's what NASA does. We're investing in the private sector. We want to see them all succeed. And so we are betting on their success. They're excellent. They're going to succeed. And we're investing right now for our International Space Station for cargo capability in SpaceX, Orbital ATK. And in the next phase of contracts, a third company, Sierra Nevada Corporation, is on track to, again, join both SpaceX and Orbital in terms of bringing cargo to space station.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Newman, we can't end this conversation without talking about a great loss that the American space program and the country as a whole experienced just this month when John Glenn passed away at the age of 95. I was just before our conversation looking back at the film footage of his 1962 orbit around planet Earth aboard Friendship 7. It brought chills yet again just watching him. And I was listening to the transmission between him and Mission Control. And there's that moment where he first turns around. And he says, the capsule is turned. And he sees the view. And he says, oh, what a tremendous view. I mean, I'm telling you, it does give me chills just thinking about it once again. But I just wonder what the feeling was there at NASA when the news came that John Glenn had passed away.
Well, he was an American hero and probably why I'm, aerospace engineer today and even deputy minister. Just he touched all of us. And it was so we celebrated his life and memorial with his family last Saturday in Columbus. And it gave us actually really important. It was timing. At 95 years old, what people I think don't quite realize is that, sure, he was the American first one in orbit, right? The test pilot. How many missions he did, both in Vietnam and Korea. But guess what? That was just the start of his career. Then he became an unbelievable statesman. He became a U.S. senator. He ran for president. I mean, on and on. And at 77, his second mission.
That's right.
We were actually really fortunate from my former lab at MIT. We got to fly an experiment, and put an EEG brain cap on him. And guess what we learned?
What?
At 77, the oldest man ever to be in orbit. Physically and mentally, he's like a 55-year-old. So he inspires all of us, and his life and legacy, and again, just what an American hero he was.
Well, Dr. David Newman is Deputy Administrator of NASA, helping us go through some highlights in space exploration in 2016. Dr. Newman, thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you.